Look at me embracing new and obnoxious technology. For real though, I have some patrons I need to thank and I already packed up my recording gear, so computer me has to say it now. Huge shout out to Clayton and Johnny, the latest supporters over at patreon.com/witchpolice. If you want to help keep the lights on round here and get access to all kinds of bonus content, sign up today and help support the show for mere pocket change. Your patronage is greatly appreciated, always.
If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with someone who has actually never been a guest on the show, but when I first started doing this podcast, my guest today was also doing a podcast around the same kind of early era. And I know you don't do that anymore, but you're making music and doing all kinds of other interesting things that I'm glad we can sit down many years after first encountering each other and talk about them. So I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do as an artist.
Sure. Hey. My name's Chad Hagen. I've dabbled in music making to various degrees for probably a little over 25 years, like since I was in high school. But okay. This I just put on an album in October. That was, it's the first thing I've done that's just me under just my name. And then, like you said, I did a podcast back in the day called Take a Seat. But I don't think they're available anywhere. So. Well, maybe one day I'll get them online again.
Yeah. Well, I do want to talk about the album, but I mean, just to sort of frame the podcasting thing, because I'm curious, when was it you were doing that? It would have been like early 2010s, I guess?
I guess so. I'm not sure. 2013, maybe?
Okay.
There, I think. Does that make sense? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And then, you were doing an interview show as well. It was a bit different from mine, but you were talking to like really interesting local people. And how long did that run for, approximately?
Maybe a little over 2 years, I think, because I think at the end of every year I would do a best of like clip show, and I only did two of those.
Okay.
And then I think I maybe carried into the third year a bit, and that was it. Memory's a little foggy on that.
That's a while ago.
I think it was just a little over 2 years. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So if you don't mind me asking, why did you stop? Because it was a good show. You did a good job with it.
Oh, thanks. It was just one was just the time. Like you're so impressive that you are able to keep doing this.
I think
and, like,
it's an addiction
out,
at this
like,
point.
You
can't
do,
stop.
Like, yeah, must be because I found it very hard. Like the just scheduling, and then any kind of editing or anything afterwards.
Yeah,
but the toughest thing for me was just the self promotion. I have a real tough time with that. Booking too, I had a tough time reaching out to people, asking them, and then if somebody would flake on me and not show up, and then I didn't have a show that week because I wasn't banking them. Like if I didn't get one done that week, then there was no show. So it was just, after a while, I'm putting too much stress on myself to do this. And I know for a while CKUW was airing them too.
Yeah.
And then I was they were falling behind and having to like re-air shows because I wasn't getting them new ones and stuff. So I just figured maybe I'm not cut out for for the consistency of this.
Well, you put out quite a few episodes. I think that there's like this rule that people who, I don't remember what the number is, but people who do a certain amount of episodes of podcasting, if you don't get to that point, it's not going to last, right? And you definitely, I think, you exceeded whatever that threshold is because you were doing it for, you know, more than 2 years. But I don't think there's been any shame in quitting when you did, because I think a lot of people, I mean, even from back then, I think I'm the only one still doing it of all those shows. So, I mean, there's definitely people have come and gone. But anyway, I thought it was cool that you reached out about the music side of things, because, like, I definitely remember your show and meeting you back in the day at one of the live events or something. So
right, I remember going to your live show at the Handsome Daughter there. It was great. And then I actually poached one of your guests afterwards. She came on my show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a fun time, because it was like, there was all those shows and we, you know, kind of tried to get that Garbage Hill Network going and stuff. And it was, it was a real, like, early days. Not too many people were up on it yet. Now everybody's got a podcast, but.
Yeah. Which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, I'm glad people are doing it. It's nice to see people trying it out. But and we're not here to talk about the podcast. We're here to talk about your record and the music side of things. So, like you mentioned sort of right off the hop here, you've been making music for a long time. This is the first release you've done sort of under your own name. So what is your background in the local music scene then?
Well, I mean, when I was a teenager in high school, I was in a hard rock metal band called Blade, and then changed the name to Aero Car Model 4.
Okay,
after a while.
I remember that band.
Those guys are still around doing things here and there, you know, but I left that band like in my early 20s, like along, you know, I put out one album with them. And then they did their second album, and I think I recorded some stuff, because I played keyboards in the band, so I recorded some stuff for them, and I think they maybe used it in some live shows and stuff too. But I left fairly, but I was in that band for, I don't know, 7 years or something like
that.
That's
a long time.
Like, we started, you know, playing high school shows. I remember I started out as drums. Played a show at the Blue Note Cafe on Portage. Do you remember that at all?
I do. Like, yeah. I used to go there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I put a hole in their ceiling with a drumstick by accident. So then I was in that, and then I've tinkered away at home. Like, I remember probably around the same time that I was in that band, somebody introduced me to programs like Reason and Fruity Loops and stuff. So then I was like, oh, I figured out how to make loops, and then I taught myself how to do sampling and stuff. And I always just did it for fun, you know, not really putting out music. And then probably about 10 years ago, myself and this guy, Greg Carell, we put out an album under the name Terra DeLue. And it's just the two of us. And this project now almost started as potentially being a second Terra DeLue album.
Okay.
But Greg moved to Toronto, and we kind of gave it a shot maybe we can share stuff back and forth and keep this going long distance. But it just proved too hard, you know. But he's still the first person who hears any music I finished, you know.
Cool.
Like, we have our SoundCloud account, you know, and we just kind of post stuff up there private. And
yeah,
he sends me stuff, and that hopefully he puts out one day too. But yeah.
So this has been, I guess, for a while, been just sort of a bedroom project, right? Where you're just making this stuff and not necessarily putting it out or doing shows or anything like that.
Yeah, just doing it for the fun of it. It's therapeutic. And, you know, I start a lot of things and don't finish them. You know, it's just kind of, I get a little idea and I tinker around with it as long as it's fun. And then, the finishing part isn't the fun part. So I don't often get to that part.
Yeah. Making it's fun, but then having to do all the rest, that part sucks. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why now then? I mean, we'll get into what the record actually sounds like in a minute, but what was the reason for sort of taking this leap at this point? I mean,
I had quite a few songs going, so I kind of always had the intention of at some point I want to compile them and put them out in some way. This year I'd already been kind of making the moves. Is my video lagging like
it
crazy?
Is, but it's all good. I can hear you fine. The audio is the important part. The video is the bonus, right?
Just caught myself out of the corner of my eye. But anyway, so I was working towards kind of trying to tie some of these songs up, and then in July my brother died suddenly, and that kind of, and so much of the album, there's so much in the lyrics and stuff that's about death. I've had so many, you know, loved ones and people close to me die in sort of recent times and just throughout my life, and that's really runs through the whole album. And so then continuing to kind of look at these songs, having what freshly, you know, had happened, losing my brother.
Yeah.
And it just kind of made me think life is short. This is something I wanted to do So I kind of put the push on and, you know, gave myself a few of those days where I do the dirty work, the stuff that's like not fun, the mixing and the...
Yeah. Listening to the record, not necessarily going for a deep dive through the lyrics or anything, but having it on and taking it in, I didn't get a bummer vibe from it. Like, I don't know if saying it's a positive record is accurate, but it definitely wasn't. It didn't come across as a downer. Like, despite obviously being influenced by those kind of themes of grief and things like that, I don't think it comes through, which is probably a good way of dealing with those feelings, right? In a way that doesn't sound like you're dragging everyone else down. You know what I mean? Like, to with the listener, yeah.
Definitely. And I think that was intentional, you know, like I actually had a lot more slow, like some of the songs I reworked to kind of speed them up and stuff and make them a little more, you know, more rock, more distortion and stuff, where like there's a few songs that actually started out as a, you know, slower, kind of more ballad, maybe more dirge like kind of song.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the intention, and it just kind of wasn't the feel I was going for. And the people that are in it that I'm talking about, I kind of want to celebrate their life, you know, like it was so, like my dad, who I lost when I was 21, there's a lot of him in it, and even the album cover is his old drum head.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Because he was a drummer and a DJ. So, yeah, Your Souvenirs, the name of the album, was a band I guess he was in at some point, you know, before I was around. So it kind of fitted because I was thinking about, you know, souvenirs, these keepsakes, these mementos and these things to leave behind for somebody. And because like in 2021, my mom died and my sisters and I had to clean out her house and just the stuff we would uncover as we were cleaning out the house, you know, like it's just things like drawings my grandma did as a little girl and stuff like that. So to me, like I that was another thing I thought about this album is, you know, I've got two daughters. It's like, it's something they can listen to one day, and
yeah,
there's a piece of me in there, you know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I mean, I guess like Is this a release more sort of for you to get these songs out and for the people who want to hear it? Or are you actually planning on sort of doing anything further with this?
And no, it's just, yeah, it's more for me than anyone. And then if some people hear it and they like it, bonus, you know, it's, yeah. I love hearing, you know, like anybody does, you know, like if somebody says, oh, I heard your song, I loved it. But like I say, I'm pretty allergic to self-promotion, so there's not a lot of people who probably even know it exists, and, you know, beyond just my friends and stuff, but, yeah, maybe somebody will hear it on here or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not going to play any shows. I don't even know how I would do it.
That was my next question. I'm
too busy to get a band together or anything like that, you know, and try to work it out how I would even put this forward in a live setting. So, yeah, it's just kind of back to recording stuff, and maybe I'll put out more stuff in the future, and maybe a little quicker next time.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's just, to me, it's just fun. I just like doing it, just like this. I like coming on here talking to you. I like the podcasting. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's and there's no real ambition beyond that.
I don't think it has to be too. I think we're in an era where technology has got us to the place where you can record a record at home, you can release it, people can hear it all over the world, and you can be done with it. Like, there's no, you know, massive investment needed. You can obviously put tons of money and time and resources into it, but you can also just do it in your room or in your basement and do everything yourself and then sort of put it out to the world.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Running fast across aerated grass, looked a bit like I was stepping in shit. Mom was yelling from the porch, it was Chris on the phone, wondering if I could play for Ben. Bike to sell for cherry blasters and grape crush to take up on the NK roof. About a year before we started all the talk about bodies, we were blessed. Buildings stared back into us. Like, are you really all that you said you are? Then he jumped first, so I had to let him. It was just part of our repertoire. Chugging soda, chucking rocks at a cobra. Put his hand on my shoulder and he said to me, maybe football's got potential to fuck up our heads. Golf is our mortal enemy. Now I'm 41. It's 3 a.m. all night long. There's been something squeaking in the dark. So I'm wide awake and trying to make a song take shape out of a childhood friend's remark. And I'm trying to make so sweet and simple refrain, but that incessant sound is like needles in my brain. Like someone's chair somewhere near where I'd study.
That's the thing. Like, I think back when I was still in my old band and we recorded an album and you know, we just shelled out so much money for that. It was just ridiculous. And now this doesn't, you know, other than the gear I've bought, you know, like mics, guitars and stuff like that, but it's stuff I was going to buy anyways, you know, like, so yeah, I'm not shelling out crazy money for studio time, like I would have had to do in the past. So
yeah,
to do something is kind of just on a whim like this is a little easier to justify.
Yeah, it's cool that it can happen. I mean, I guess the only downside to it is that now everyone and their dog is releasing records that they recorded, which is great. But I mean, that whole self-promotion part of things, if you were trying to push this as more than just a personal project, like I'm glad I'm not in the band right now just because of trying to figure out how to navigate all of that. Because there's so much music out there and it's like, how do you get your shirt? I don't know. I ask people this every like twice a week and no one knows the answer. So. It's a thing.
I don't know. And it's like, I mean, I think it is great because there's so many talented young bands in this city and I'm sure in most cities, you know, and just listening to your show, you know, I hear so many bands that I'd never would have heard of. And, you know, I don't go out to shows or anything. So your show or occasionally I'll check in when Rainbow Trout announces their lineup, I'll be like, okay, what do these bands sound like? You know,
I do that too.
It's crazy just how many talented bands there are in the city. And, you know, at this point, I'm like, there's a lot of great young bands. I'm an old fart. I'm doing this for fun. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, even as someone who's kind of like, I hope I'm clued into the local music scene doing this show, there's still probably 100 bands I've never even heard of that have existed in the past year in Winnipeg. It's crazy.
Yeah.
For people who haven't heard you before, and maybe this is their first kind of introduction to you as a person or you as a musician, how would you define sort of the sound of this record? I hate asking this question because it's a difficult one because there's so many different subgenres now and subgenres of subgenres and all these different ways to label your music. But do you have sort of an easy way to describe it from how you think it sounds?
No, not really. I guess I would, you know, sort of broadly put it under alternative rock or something, whatever that means. But, I feel like there's a fairly wide range though on the album, you know, which I've always liked. I remember seeing a thing, somebody posted on Twitter a while back where it was like talking about how there's vibes bands and there's songs bands, you know?
Yeah.
Which I like, both have their place, you know, but I've always wanted to be like a songs guy, you know, where it's like the album's got variation, like you know, like there's certain bands where like We're on Drugs, The Strokes or something, you throw that on, it's got a vibe, it's gonna fit a certain mood, and then it's, you know, it's gonna work good at a backyard party or whatever, whereas like a song's band, you might not want to throw on at a barbecue. It might be kind of a
that's a headphones buzzkill. A headphones kind of band, right?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's kind of what I was looking for.
Yeah, well, maybe a better way to approach that question, because I mean, it is a hard question, and after listening to it, I think the alt rock thing works because it's in the absence of anything more specific, I guess. But were there certain artists you were listening to in the making of this that may have subconsciously or overtly seeped into what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, probably lots. You know, there's one I think of. It's funny. I was listening to your Secret Beach episode, and you guys were talking about Planet Waves on there.
Yeah.
So one specific example I can think of is I was listening to the song Dirge on there. Do you know that song?
Yeah.
And it's mostly just piano and Bob Dylan's vocals, but then I think it's Robbie Robertson playing guitar on it, and he's just noodling over the whole thing, and it's like, at times it's almost obnoxious, or it's just this consistent noodling that doesn't always fit.
Yeah.
And you know, the first couple times I heard it, I'm like, I don't know about that. But then I came to almost love it. Then I had one song where I'm like, I felt like it was missing something. So I'm like, well, I'm just gonna noodle over top of it. I mean, and I'm not much of a noodler, you know, I've never been a great guitar player. So it definitely doesn't sound anything like that song, but just that basic idea. That's more what it would be, is like I'd hear something around, like, oh, that's something I, you know, sounds a little different.
Yeah.
And maybe I can apply that in my own way to, one of my songs.
Right. Not a direct, you're getting the feel of it and reinterpreting it through your own filter.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
As far as the instrumentation goes on it, you mentioned earlier on that you played drums, you played keyboards. What are you playing on this record, and how was that sort of juggling all these instruments?
Well, I'm playing everything except for the drums. The drums are just, they're programmed drums. But guitars, bass, keyboards, vocals, yeah.
Do you have, the drums are programmed, but the keyboards you've done clearly. Do you have a lot of experience playing guitar and bass in this kind of context or anywhere else?
Not really. I mean, I played keyboard in my old band, but I've never been a great piano player. For as long as I've been doing it, I've somehow managed to not get very skilled at any instruments, but I can get a sound in my head and then figure out how to make it, you know, but that's about as far as I can get. You know, I've never been the kind of guy who can like pull out the acoustic at a campfire and sing a song. You know, I'm kind of, I'll fumble my way through something until I can get a good enough take to run with.
Yeah, I like that. I'm the same way. I don't even know half the time when I have been in bands, what the chords I'm playing are called. It's just like, this sounds good. this kind of fits.
Yeah,
right?
And so, I play around with a lot of alternate tunings and stuff, you know, because I find sometimes they can be easier for me to, you know, get a sound out.
Totally. Like, well, it's your own stuff, right? Nice. So you don't have any restrictions on how you play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm not having to, you know, either have 10 guitars on stage to switch between all the different tunings I've used or have to stand there and tune my guitar between every song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With this record being, you know, like we've discussed, it's more of sort of a personal thing for you to just to do this. What would make this a successful album for you? I mean, is just getting it out, is that sort of achieving what you set out to do, or are you hoping that something comes out of it? Like, I mean, if it inspires you to do another one, is that sort of a sign that this has worked, this has been a successful thing, or people give you good feedback about it? Like, what are you sort of hoping for, if anything, in the future of this?
I mean, the completing it is kind of its, you know, its own reward.
Yeah.
If anything, you know, if some people hear it and somebody just happens to hear it and like it and reaches out and tells me they liked it, then that's about as far as, you know, as I could hope for, really. And as far as doing another one, it's kind of just going to come down to whether I want to do it or not, you know.
Yeah.
Right now I think I've already started working on new songs, and chances are I'll do something like this again. It's really just kind of, it's making me happy. I love, you know, having somebody ask you about your work is great. Like, something like this, it's nice to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't really have much other opportunity to talk about it. So it's,
right. You're not doing shows. Yeah. You're not going out doing, press for it or anything. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, if people hear it, it's nice. And I released this one on my birthday, so I was kind of like, well, maybe I can kind of get my ass in gear, and maybe I can put out another one, and maybe that can be something I just do consistently, like as a way of marking time. And then when I look back, I can be like, oh, this is where I was at on this birthday. And, you know,
that's kind of a cool idea. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. That's it. I don't want to commit to that.
We don't have to. We don't have to commit to anything.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So if people are hearing about it for the first time, and I think a lot of people listening, you know, just because this is your first album as yourself in a long time, how does someone find your music? Well, what's the best way for someone to hear this and actually check out the record we've been talking about the past 20 minutes?
Well, it's on all the streamers like Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, whatever. And then it's also on Bandcamp. Just my name, Chad Hagen. Album's called Your Souvenirs. Yeah, that's where you can hear it. Don't have much of a social media presence. I've got Instagram. It's private, but if you like my music, I'll let you follow me.
I'm assuming that you have no desire to expand that, right? You don't seem like the kind of guy who wants to start putting up like band pages and shit.
Nah, probably not. No.
So Bandcamp is probably the best option for most people, right? I mean, because at least sure. if someone buys it, you get something out of it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, if you want it for free, you can get it for free, but there's the option if you want to pay something for it, go for it. But yeah, it's free. It's free for you.
Cool. The one last thing I want to ask you about it too, I thought of this earlier and I forgot to ask you, but how long have these songs been around? Because, you know, it sounds like this has been something that's been in the works, whether actively or sort of mentally for a while. Are some of these songs, do they go back pretty far or is it all fairly recent writing?
Some of them do, yeah. I mean, some go back to, so I say that Terre de Lou album, I can't remember when that came out. It was at least 10 years ago, probably even more than that.
Okay.
So then it was kind of once that finished, I started the process of writing again. So kind of the germs of some of them started around then, but I work slowly, you know, like I'm putting in 15, 20 minutes here and there. I do a lot of recording early in the morning, like 4:35 in the morning. You know, I'd like to kind of not make it my family's problem. So I do it when everybody else is asleep.
That's why I do this when I do it. Yeah. At night. Right, yeah. Same thing. Yeah.
So, so that's part of what took so long too, is just that, I'm just doing it in pretty short bursts. So there's stuff that goes back that far being started, but then didn't get finished until, you know, probably the earliest stuff that got finished would have been a year or two ago. Okay. Some version of some of the songs. I've remixed some of them, but I did a bunch of videos that I put out on YouTube a while back, still under the name Terra de Lou, when I still kind of thought it was going to be a Terra de Lou project. So there's some that are finished, but they're not the same mix that's on the album.
Okay. Has releasing this has it sped up songwriting for you at all? Have you, now that this is out, like, do you have the bug a little bit more than you may have had, you know, a year or two ago?
I mean, in some ways, the main thing that's kind of done that for me though is just switching my setup, because most of this got finished. I had some issues along the way with computers crashing and stuff, and I ended up finishing it all on this ancient Toshiba laptop that just like would overheat on me, and it would just shut down and I'd lose everything since the last save. And so I've finally kind of retired that setup and I've got myself something a little better. So it's in itself is inspiring to, you know, have stuff that works.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's a good thing. Good thing to have.
I was often fighting against the technology.
inside the rookies, the life rifles, and I find sight for the fading memories.